To the adult education of Rinat, and by way of introduction, everyone knows that, or those many people know, Rabbi Katz grew up in Rinat, and no matter what it says on his resume, he's Rinat bred, Rinat born, and all the way through. Rabbi Yehoshua Katz is the Rosh Beit Midrash of Karen Geshen, Darchi Noam of Fairlawn, and the Gemara Rebbe at TABC, where he is the Rosh Elyon for TABC's Elyon program. Rabbi Katz learned for 2 years at Shivat Har Tzion, then for 6 years at YU with Rav Michael Rosenzweig, whom he served as Shir assistant. He received smicha from Ritz, Masters in Jewish Philosophy from Bernard Rebel. He continues his learning as a fellow of the Wexner Kollel Elyon. He lives in Fairlawn with his wife Bracha, and 3 adorable children. It doesn't say that, but adorable children, Effie, Eliezer, and Yaakov. And welcome everybody, and thank you for coming.
Thank you so much, Dr. Friedman. It's always a pleasure to be back where I truly was, born and raised. It's really a zechus to be back in Rinat. And to be learning with old friends, mentors, it's very, very special to see such familiar faces. And it's especially, an especially unique experience for me tonight, having the zechus to give a yortzeit shir for Dr. Friedman's parents, Moshe Zev ben Azriel Tzvi, Maurice Moish Friedman, and Devorah Bas Yoshua Heschel, both of them zechronam livracha, Debbie Friedman. I had the opportunity to know Saba, as we called him, a little bit, to get to interact with Saba a little bit. And we'll talk more at the end of this year, just a few notes about my connection to the Friedman family in general and to Howie's parents. And it's really, really special to be able to learn Li'iloi Nishmasa. So the topic for tonight, Breshus Rabbi Strach, Rabbi Da'as, or Breshus Rabbi Taubis, the topic for tonight is why we read the Megillah twice. And 6 nights from now, we're going to have the opportunity to fulfill a very special mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, that which we fulfill annually. And there's a lot of excitement and anticipation that goes into reading the Megillah. I know for myself, I got trained here, learning how to read the Megillah. If you could read the Megillah here, you could read it anywhere. So I will always be thankful to Rina for giving me that strength and confidence to take my laning everywhere. And it's certainly a night that I look forward to as a Baal Kore, and especially the nighttime reading. It's always interesting to me when sometimes the environmental feelings, the connection emotionally sometimes bespeaks and reflects elements that we see really in the halacha. And I've always felt that the nighttime reading comes with a little bit more of an emotional sense. I'm looking at my father. You agree with me on this? Okay, the nighttime reading comes with a little bit of an emotional sense to it. The daytime reading with a little bit more of a formal sense, the need to do a mitzvah, whereas the nighttime, it's like everybody's raring to go. Now, that could be because, we haven't had it in over a year, and by the morning, we're already bored. Okay, it's 21st century. But it also could reflect something very significant about the relationship between the nighttime reading and the daytime reading. Where does the nighttime reading of Megillah stem from to begin with? The Gemara Megillah, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, in source number 1, quotes Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chayav Adam Likros es HaMegillah B'Layla V'Lishnosa Bayom. A person is obligated to read the Megillah during the day. V'Lishnosa Bayom, I'll leave that untranslated for now. Shene'emar Elokai Ekro Yomam V'Losa Aneh V'Layla V'Lodum Yali, a pasuk in Tehillim, that we call out to Hashem, and even if we're not answered, we call out again at night, we're not silent. Sovr mina lemikre belelia ulumisna mastis and dida biyamama. The students who heard this teaching of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, they weren't sure exactly what he meant when he said the word lishnosa, because the word lishnos can mean one of two things. It could either mean to learn, to study, or it could also mean to repeat. They didn't know what it meant. So originally they thought that it meant to learn. Why would they think that it means to learn? Well, before we had the practice to read the Megillah at night and during the day, which is what we take for granted, if you think about it, it's actually a little bit strange that we repeat the reading of the Megillah. There's no other mitzvah, a ma'isa mitzvah, an objective act that we do on any other Yom Tov that we are obligated to repeat from the nighttime to the daytime. I can't think of one other one. Of course, there's a suda. We have meals throughout the day, but that's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to a specific ma'isa mitzvah that bears out the unique theme of a day. We take lulav once. We eat matzah once. Kiddush, okay, so Kiddush Bayom is Midr Rabbanon, first of all, right? And also connected to the meal. But yes, that's true. That's a good counterexample. Hallel on Pesach night versus during the day. Might be two different dinim, although that's an interesting parallel. If you take a mitzvah of the day, right, such as Mikra Megillah, which we're going to do during the day, we don't really find that we repeat something, that we do it twice. And what's more than that is that it's very strange that we're doing this during the nighttime. Because when do we have a reading from a text that we do at night? The only other one that I can think of is Megillas Eicha. Okay, Vizos HaBracha and Simchas Torah, but we're not going to, that's a much later phenomenon. Megillas Eicha we could think about, but the truth is that the first source to read Eicha at night comes from Maseches Sofrim. The Ramban in Torah Sa'adam writes that it's Vitoras Minhag. It has the status of a custom. In this shul, the minhag is to recite a Berkas HaMitzvah on Mikra Megillah whenever we read it from a klaf. Shir Ashirim Koheles Eicha. So you say Al Mikra Megillah. But in many, many places, that's not the practice. The practice is to say Al Mikra Megillah only on Megillas Esther. And even when Eicha is read from a klaf, for example, in YU, when they read Megillah from a klaf, they don't say the brach of Al Mikra Megillah. Only on Megillas Esther, bein bayom, bein balayla, whether during the day or at night, we say the bracha. So Megillas Eicha at night, first of all, in Maseches Sofrim, it's not so clear even that it should be at night. So it says that some people read it at night, some do it during the day. You certainly don't do it two times. Why are we reading the Megillah? Why do we have a text that we read at night? Never have a text that we read at night. And what's more is that it's not just that universally we don't really encounter this phenomenon of reading a text at night. There's actually major counter pressure to reading the Megillah at nighttime. Because we know from the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Chaf Amid Beis in source number 2, the Gemara tells us that the reason why we read the Megillah during the daytime, why it has to be during the daytime hours, referring to the daytime Megillah, is because of what the Gemara says, Minolan da'omar kra v'hayomim ho'ila nizkarim v'nasim. These days, the Megillah says, will be recalled, they'll be remembered, commemorated, and they will be performed. We have two different aspects of the day of Purim. On the one hand, we have what we call Zechira, which is the commemoration of the day. That takes place through the venue of the Megillah. And on the other hand, we have the Asiyah, the performance of the day, the mitzvot that we do. Mishloach Manos, Matanos Avyonim, Suda. And we have a Hekesh, Chazal say, a connection between Zechira and Asiyah. What the commemoration, the Megillah, is connected to the performance. And therefore, just as the performances are during the day, as we know the Gemara Megillah, Dav Zayin Amid Beis, in source number 3, Rava tells us that if one has a suda, a meal, at nighttime, he or she is not yotze the mitzvah of suda. As much as we might want to be able to be yotze the suda at night, or not yotze the suda at night. You have to have it during the daytime. So says the Gemara. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Yemei Mishta V'Simcha. It's days of feasting, days of joy. So we do the mitzvos during the day, and we connect the mitzvos to the reading, to the zechira, and therefore the zechira also has to be during the day. Hekesh zechira la'asiya. Okay, so then I understand why I have a Mikra Megillah during the day. It seems like Purim day is the real time to celebrate Purim. So then why do I have a reading at night? Devoid of any connection to the asiya, to the doing, to the action, to the performance of Purim. And that's not my question. That's actually the Rishonim's question, the Rashba, in source number 4, on page number 2, Rabbi Shlomo ben Aderes, one of the foremost of the Spanish Rishonim, 13th century Spain, he writes as follows, Ela she'ani tama be'ikar ha'inyin. I don't understand this whole deal. The haksiv nizkarim v'nasim. The pasuk connects zechira ta'asiya, the reading to the doing. V'hikish zechira la'asiya, va'asiya eina ela bayom. I only do during the day. I have the performances during the day. So why do I have a reading at nighttime? The Rashba says, oh, well, the Gemara Megillah Daf Dalet quotes Psukim that teach us that we read the Megillah during the day. But if we just had those Psukim, Elokai Ekra Yomam Velo Saneh Velayla Velo Dum Yali, a Pasuk in Tehillim, talking about davening and praying to Hashem, we probably wouldn't derive from that Pasuk that we should read the Megillah at night. What's more mistaber, what is more sensible, is that Chazal saw to it that reading the Megillah at night should be part and parcel of the mitzvah of Megillah. And then they saw in Tehillim, oh, this pasuk really captures what the reading at night is all about. But why do we have a reading at night to begin with? It doesn't fit with our general construct of not reading texts at night. And secondly, it doesn't really fit with the day of Purim. It's totally disconnected from all of the other mitzvos. Good. So we're going to see that. The Bali Atosos point to that factor of Persume Nisa. So you want to say that the Mikra Megillah at night is really just to be Mefarsim the Nais, not really to have a mitzvah to read. Okay, we're going to head towards that direction. Let's try to build that up step by step.
Even though you couldn't draw an exact sort of parallel to Hanukkah, you don't wait till the day you grab the mitzvah straight away. So it's a great Nais that came through.
Right.
You want to do something at night.
So right. But what's different is that for Hanukkah, we don't repeat the mitzvah during the day. Right, so you could say, Shaga Batiya Ramaya Hani, why does it help to have lights during the day? But okay, but if we wanted to find some commemoration during the day, I'm sure Chazal could have, you know, found one, right? Apparently they felt compelled that there needs to be some expression of the day or some experience of Purim at night, and they felt that Mikra Megillah was the proper mode of experience for that. And the question is why? Okay. Now, the truth is that there may be some legal distinctions between the Megillah at nighttime versus daytime. For example, take the stature of the obligation. So the Rishonim assume that Megillah during the daytime is what we call Midivrei Kabbalah. It's not just a mere rabbinic obligation, but it rises to the status of Divrei Kabbalah, an obligation that stems from Psukim and from Ruach HaKodesh. Whereas during the nighttime, not everybody assumes that the Megillah during the night has the same legal status. Many believe that Megillah at nighttime is not midivrei Kabbalah, which is a higher level derabanan, but rather it is just a derabanan, like all other derabanans. And this has many practical ramifications. There is a primogodim, for example, who says that if a person read the Megillah during Bein Hashmashos, during the twilight hours, when we don't know whether it's daytime or nighttime, he would still be Yotze, because you would say Safek Dirabanan Lekula. We might not say that about Divrei Kabbalah. Moreover, there's a tshuva of the Nodab Yehuda, Rabbi Chezkel Landau, source number 5. He has a very fascinating tshuva in Orach Chaim Simin Mem Aleph, where the Nodab Yehuda discusses if it's been cloudy out for all of Adar, and it comes to the 14th of Adar, and now it's Purim, everybody's excited to read the Megillah, and somebody comes into shul, he says, I saw the moon. We got to do Kiddush Levana. They haven't done Kiddush Levana all month. So what do? Do you stop the Megillah to go do Kiddush Levana? Which takes precedence, Kiddush Levana or Mikra Megillah? And during his discussion in that tshuva, the Nodab Yehuda points to the fact that the Megillah at nighttime is just a mere derabanan, it doesn't rise to the level of Divrei Kabbalah, and therefore we apply the principle of Tadir v'she'ino Tadir, Tadir Kodeh. When you have two obligations, one of which is more prevalent and common, so you do the more common obligation first. In this case, that would be Kiddush Levana, which we do 12 times a year, as opposed to Mikra Megillah, which we do only 1 to 2 times a year, whether you count Mikra Megillah at night as 1 or 2 because of Megillah during the day. So Nodab Yehuda says that Tadir v'she'ino Tadir, Tadir Kodem applies, and he says, don't tell me that principle doesn't apply when you're weighing two mitzvos of different statures and different levels. For example, if you had a mitzvah d'oraisa and a mitzvah d'rabanan, and the mitzvah d'oraisa was less common, the mitzvah d'rabanan was more common, we wouldn't be so quick to say Tadir v'she'ino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. But the Nodab Yehuda says, in this case, it's just a d'rabanan. You have Kiddush Levana and Mikra Megillah at night, so we can apply the principle of Tadir v'she'ino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Yes, Dr. Freeman.
Kiddush Levana's status is just the Rabbanan?
Let's assume that for now.
And you're talking that we already began late reading at night?
So I believe,
or you have a choice in front of you?
Right. So the Nodab Yehuda, I believe, holds that you would even stop in the middle. Rabbi Tavis, that's okay. So he holds that you would even stop in the middle. In the middle of the laning. And then that gets into discussions about doing the Megillah in parts, which is another interesting discussion, but we're going to leave that to the side for now. Okay, so I mention this all to you really just to accentuate how really strange, out of the ordinary it is, that we have a reading at nighttime, something that we take for granted based on our year-to-year practice, but when we take a step back and zoom out, this really requires some more elaboration and some more exploration. So what I want to do with you tonight is try to account for the curious timing of Megillah at nighttime. Why did Chazal see to it that we should specifically read this text at night? And number two, what is the relationship between the Megillah at nighttime and the Megillah during the daytime? So in order to get into that analysis, let's turn to the question, the main question in the topic that bothered the Rishonim, which is how many Shehecheyanus should be made on Mikra Megillah. Tosfos in source number 6, Megillah Daf Dalet, quotes the Ri, says as follows, Omer Ri, the afal gav de mevarich zman balayla, chozer u mevarich oso bayom. Even though we say Shehecheyanu at nighttime on the Megillah, we repeat it during the daytime. And that's our practice, that's how we paskin. Why? De ikar persume nisa have bekriya de yamama. Tosfos says that there's more persume nisa, more publicity for the miracle during the daytime. Why? Not sure. Maybe an assumption that more people come out during the daytime, more people are awake and paying attention. I'm not sure, but that's their assumption, that there's more publicity during the daytime. And since there's more persume nisa during the day, so therefore Tosfos says that the daytime reading is considered the primary fulfillment of Mikra Megillah. If you skip down to the third line, he says, "V'ho'ikar have biyamama." This is in the beginning of the third line. "V'ho'ikar have biyamama." Kevan sheizkiro hakasov tchila. So first of all, the pasuk in Tehillim refers to the daytime reading first, before the nighttime, and then he points out, as we noted at the beginning, "V'gam ikar asuda biyamama hu." Kida amar lekaman demach lebalayla lo yatzei dechovaso. So the meal, the requirement to have a feast, is also only during the day. And at nighttime, it's not. This is also implied by the hekesh of Zechira v'asiyah, as we saw before. So essentially, just to summarize what Tosfos is saying, Tosfos is taking this perspective on the daytime and the nighttime and saying that essentially one is ikar and the other is tafel. One is primary, one is secondary. The daytime reading is the primary reading. Why? Tosfos advances two reasons to try to prove that conclusion. Number one, there's more publicity for the miracle during the day. Number two, all of the other mitzvos are during the day. So that should indicate to us that the reading during the day is considered the primary reading. The nighttime reading is more of a tafel, it's secondary. That's kind of gets swept along together with the daytime reading. So therefore, says Tosfos, we have a practical ramification. We're going to have to repeat the bracha of Shehecheyanu because we have a quirk. We do the secondary fulfillment before we do the primary one. So when we get to Mikra Megillah at nighttime, we haven't done it for a year. So we have to say the bracha of Shehecheyanu. But then when we come to Mikra Megillah during the day, we have to repeat Shehecheyanu. Why? Because who could imagine that we would say Shehecheyanu on the secondary fulfillment and not on the primary? So says Tosfos, we're going to say it twice. And that's what we do. So Tosfos' perspective is that of Ikar v'Tafel, primary and secondary. The Sefer Rokeach, Rabbi Elazar of Worms, his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, in source number 7, he takes Tosfos' general perspective, but he flips it. And he says that the nighttime reading is the primary fulfillment, whereas the daytime reading is more of the secondary fulfillment. He actually proves it from the Nusach HaBracha, the text of the Bracha that we say on Megillah. Whenever we have a Birkas HaMitzvah, so we have two options before us, Sugim Sachim Adav Zayin. Sometimes we use a Lamid, Lehadlik Ner Shal Chanukah. Sometimes we use an Al Biur Chametz. When it comes to Mikra Megillah, we use the Lashon, the language of Al Mikra Megillah. So the Rishonim all debate, there's a very wide-ranging debate about when do we use Lit and when do we use Al. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid that the Rokeach quotes over here in source number 7 is that whenever you have a mitzvah that you repeat in a continuous fashion. So for example, Neros Chanukah. You don't do it once, you do it for 8 days straight. So when you make when you say the Birkas HaMitzvah, you use a Lamed because Le implies that you're going to continue doing this mitzvah. In contrast, when you do a mitzvah and it's a one-time shot, over and done, so then you use the Nusach of Al. So says the Rokeach, why do we say Al Mikra Megillah? We're going to repeat the Megillah again tomorrow. I would have thought that it's more like Neros Chanukah. No, that indicates to us that Mikra Megillah at nighttime is the primary fulfillment. So once I read the Megillah at night, now I've done the real mitzvah. I'm going to read it again tomorrow. Yeah, okay. That's kind of more of a secondary consideration. So the Rokeach believes that the Mikra Megillah at night is primary to the Mikra Megillah during the daytime. Why? Perhaps he believes that Mikra Megillah at night and day is really the same thing. We just do it two times, so the first time that we do it should be the primary fulfillment. Now, what's common between Tosos, I'll get to you in a second, the common denominator between Tosos and the Rokeach is this assumption that the relationship between Megillah at night and Megillah during the day is, as I've been saying, Iker v'tofel, primary, secondary. Tosos, the daytime's primary, nighttime secondary. Rokeach, it's the opposite. But this begs the question, if one is primary, one is secondary, why do we do the secondary at all? it's very nice to use this fancy terminology to describe the relationship, but we have to provide some more, some more meat to this argument as to why we do it in the first place. So I'll speculate, I'll suggest one approach, and then I'm going to try to explore another avenue, a totally different perspective on the relationship between the two. If we view the relationship between the two Megillahs as Iker v'Tafel, it very well could be that one is meant to service the other. What do I mean by that? So the Netziv, in his commentary Merome Sada on Maseches Megillah, he writes that the word Lishnosa Bayom, why did Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi say Lishnosa, when he really meant that we should do it again? Why did he purposefully, specifically use an ambiguous term that almost led his students to a misimpression, that they don't have to read the Megillah during the day at all? All they have to do is study the laws of Megillah. Why do you use that term? Why not just say you have to read the Megillah during the night and then repeat it during the day? If a chozer v'korei bayom, you could have said it like that. Why did he say lishnosa? So the Netziv infers from the language of the Gemara that the purpose of Mikra Megillah during the daytime is to be able to delve into the depth of the Megillah, to be able to really understand what lies underneath the text. But as we all know, the first time that we encounter a text, we can't fully appreciate it. First, we have to kind of have an overview of it. We have to get our feet wet a little bit. We have to encounter it. Then when we return to it, chazara is a beautiful thing. You review what you read, you're able to understand it and appreciate it that much more. Says the Netziv, the purpose of the nighttime reading is really to prepare you for the daytime reading. And in Harei Kedem, so Rav Michal Shurkin quotes the Rav as saying something very similar, that the nighttime reading is meant almost as a hechsher, almost as a preparation, as a facilitator for the daytime reading, because the daytime reading wouldn't be as powerful of a punch if we didn't have the nighttime reading in advance. Now, according to Tosos, that makes a lot of sense. According to the Rokeach, we might be able to say a similar idea, that the nighttime reading is the primary reading. We do it again during the daytime to be able to almost have, a post-game analysis, to walk away with a message during the day, or that we should repeat the reading during the day because all the other mitzvos are done during the day. But either way, one reading is meant to service the other if we take the approach of Iker v'Tafel. Okay, I have two questions. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Mishnah Torah.
Right. So he says it's not really a replication or stating all the halachos again. There are many new halachos that it's really learning shinanta rather than just replication.
Yes. Beautiful connection, and that's really true about just our whole idea of Chazara in general. Reviewing something is not meant to just memorize what you learned earlier, but it's meant to be able to put different pieces together to see it from a more macroscopic view. So certainly there are huge advantages to being able to better appreciate what we did the night before, having had that preparation. Yeah.
So that's really not tough.
So I like the Iker v'Tafel approach because we're saying that
the answer is Tosos and the Rokeach, but in practice each one has its strength. One is first, the second one gives you an understanding, the first is preparing, but the second it's not Iker and Tafel.
So I'm going to go there. I think that's true in the Rambam, but if you say that reading once is meant to prepare you for reading it again, right? Then it kind of sounds like we only need to do it the first time because we want to have the real fulfillment the second time. I mean, I understand what you're saying. You're saying the first time has its own significance in that, you're reading it once, and then that also provides you with a better framework to be able to understand the second time around. Yeah, so, we could quibble over the exact formulation, but it's certainly going to be quite distinct from what we're going to see in the Rambam in just a moment. Any other questions before we get to the next part? Okay, so ad kan for Tosos and the Rokeach, primary, secondary, one servicing the other. When we turn to the Rambam in source number 9, we get a totally different view on what the relationship is between the nighttime and the daytime. So let's pay careful attention. Whenever we see the holy words of the Rambam was a master organizer, master formulator, as Mori Verabi or Rosenzweig likes to say. So we have to be very, very careful readers when we get to each word of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, source number 9, Mitzvah lekros eskula. So first of all, there is one mitzvah to read the Megillah, u'mitzvah lekrosa balayla uvayom. There is one mitzvah to read it during the daytime and the nighttime. We could have, in theory, posed the question, are there two mitzvos, one mitzvah of Megillah at night, one mitzvah of Megillah during the day, or is there one mitzvah with two different parts that make up the fulfillment of the entirety of the mitzvah? Right, so is there one mitzvah that divides into two parts? Or no, this is two different mitzvahs. There's actually a fascinating, cute, practical expression for this. The Or Zarua, Rabbi Yitzchak Or Zarua, who is one of the Balei HaTosfos, lived in Germany in the 1100s. And he writes that what happens if you have someone who converts in the middle of Purim, after the time for the nighttime Megillah, but before the time for the daytime Megillah? Is he obligated to read the daytime Megillah? Is he obligated to read the daytime Megillah? So this is a beautiful question. You know, it might make us laugh, but it captures this idea so pinpointedly. Why? Because whoever is not obligated in the mitzvah when the mitzvah is triggered, when it sets in, is exempt from that mitzvah even after he converts. So if we look at the mitzvah as one mitzvah with two parts, and he didn't convert before the nighttime Megillah, he'll be exempt from both. But if he converts in the middle and you say that both are considered two different obligations, he'll be obligated in the second one. And actually, the Or Zarua is of the opinion that he is obligated in the second reading, which is in accordance with the position of Tosfos. You have an Iker V'Tofel. You can look at it almost as two discrete obligations. For the Rambam, that is clearly not the case. U'mitzvah lekrosa balaylo vayom. There's one mitzvah with two different parts. And now pay attention to this Rambam. V'chol ha'layla kasher l'kriyas ha'layla, v'chol ha'yom kasher l'kriyas ha'yom. The entire night is fit for the nighttime reading, and the entire day is fit for the daytime reading. Why is that significant? Well, the Rambam veers from the formulation of the Gemara over here. The Gemara and Daf Chaf HaMibes that we read at the very beginning of the Shir said, kol ha'yom kasher l'kriyas ha'yom. The Mishnah says the entire day is fit to read the Megillah during the day. It never speaks about the nighttime reading. It never says, kol halayla kosher lekriyas halayla. The Rambam took the formulation of the Mishnah and extended and expanded it on his own, from his own conviction that the same rules that apply to the daytime reading should apply to the nighttime reading, and he felt that it was needed to formulate that. Umivarich kodem kriyasa balayla shalosh brachos ve'elohim. The Rambam introduces the brachos on the Megillah, which we're going to say both before the nighttime and before the daytime, but he specifically says kodem kriyasa balayla. Now, why does he say balayla? It could be because the Rambam is of the opinion that Shehecheyanu is not repeated during the day. Against Tosos thinks that Shehecheyanu is repeated during the day. The Rambam thinks not. You only make a Shehecheyanu at nighttime, not before the daytime. Why am I stressing all of these points? Because I think that they paint a picture for us. According to the Rambam, we don't have an Iker V'Tafel, one Megillah servicing the other. Rather, we have one obligation. Chazal established for us one obligation of Megillah that comes with two actions. Those two actions are a nighttime reading and a daytime reading. That's why the Rambam goes out of his way to formulate kol halayla kasher lekriyas halayla, as if to tell us there isn't, it's not that one is more important and more significant than the other. These are almost two equal partners that make up a mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Why do we say Shehecheyanu only at night and not during the day? Not because the nighttime is the Iker and the daytime is the Tafel, like the Rokeach said. No. It's because you say Shehecheyanu before the mitzvah. Now, you haven't completely fulfilled the mitzvah until you turn to the day and you read it again. But you're not going to repeat Shehecheyanu during the daytime under the assumption that we don't say Shehecheyanu on a Maisa mitzvah, we say it on a Kiyuma mitzvah, and the fulfillment of the mitzvah is completed only once we have done both the night and the day. So says the Rambam, you say Shehecheyanu at night, you don't repeat it during the day, because the Kiyum is made up of two elements. And the Rambam in Perash Mishnayos sounds this way as well. Source number 10, Ukriyas HaMegillah Chova Balayla Pa'am Ulamacharas Pa'am Shnia. You're supposed to do it twice. It's a two-pronged mitzvah. But of course that begs the question, the same question that we asked on Tosfos and on the Rokeach, why is it that Chazal saw to it that Mikra Megillah should specifically come in the form of two parts? So I'd like to suggest a possible approach over here. I'm not sure this is exactly what the Rambam had in mind, but I think it's possible, and I certainly think that the approach itself holds a lot of weight, even if it's not exactly what the Rambam himself had in mind. There's some interesting evidence that Mikra Megillah at nighttime is very much connected to the experience of Purim at night. What do I mean by that? So the Gemara Megillah, at the very beginning of the Masechta, Daf Beis Med Aleph, the opening Mishnah, speaks about a concept called Yom HaKnisa, where villagers used to go into the city on Mondays and Thursdays in order to conduct their business. And Chazal were lenient on these villagers that they would be able to read the Megillah on the day that they went into the city, even if it wasn't actually the 14th of Adar. Rather, they were allowed to read it starting from the 11th of Adar. Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. So they would go into the city during the daytime, they would gather together and read the Megillah there. The Gemara never explicates what is the halacha with respect to the nighttime Megillah when the villagers would visit the city. Says the daytime they would read it in the city, but what did they do at night? So in theory, there are three possibilities. One is that they forgot the nighttime reading altogether. That's the position of the Ran in source number 11. We're going to skip it because we're running a little late on time. But the Ran says that Chazal were lenient about Megillah for the villagers to allow them to read it before the proper date. So they were lenient also about the nighttime reading. Again, that accords more with Tosfos' approach that the nighttime reading is kind of something that we throw into the mix, but not the primary fulfillment. But there are two other possible avenues to think about over here. Number one is maybe they did read it, but when did they read it? Maybe they read it the night before they went into the city. So if they went into the city on Yud Beis Adar, so they read it the night of Yud Beis Adar. That's what the Ritva says in his first opinion. But then in his second, source number 12, the Ritva, Rabbi Yontov ben Avram, also one of the foremost of the Spanish Rishonim, in his second opinion, he says something wild. He says that you know when they read the nighttime Megillah? On Yud Daled. They read it on the night of the 14th, even though they read the daytime on the 12th. That is to say that they split the fulfillment of the nighttime and the daytime such that they were on two different dates on the calendar. Now, why would that be? From a perspective of the Netziv and the Rav, what we try to use to explain the Balei HaTosos, that makes no sense. You should have the nighttime before the daytime because the whole purpose of the nighttime is to prepare you to be able to really better experience the daytime. In this case, you're actually doing the opposite. You're doing the daytime before the nighttime. How do we account for that? Apparently, there is some kepeda, there is some need, an absolute necessity to have an interconnection between the nighttime reading and the nighttime of Purim. They cannot be split, those two. Mikra Megillah at night needs to come on the 14th. Why would that be? The truth is that we find some other very interesting evidence about the Megillah at night. There is a discussion in the Rishonim about whether one says the paragraph of Al HaNisim at Mariv on Purim night. Our practice is that we do say Al HaNisim at Mariv. However, Rav Amram Gon, one of the Gaonim, is quoted in source number 13 as having said that Al HaNisim cannot be recited in Mariv on Purim night. Why not? Because you haven't yet read the Megillah. But we don't pask in that way. We do say Al HaNisim. But isn't that fascinating? When it comes to any other Yom Tov, of course you say Yalav Yavo at nighttime. When it comes to Chanukah, would anyone say that if you haven't yet lit Neros Chanukah, but you daven Mariv first, that you don't say Al HaNisim in Mariv? Nobody says anything like that. Only when it comes to Megillah and the nighttime of Purim do we have an opinion on the books, Rav Amram Gon, who said leave out Al HaNisim because you haven't yet read the Megillah. Why would that be the case? What's more, Rav Amram Gon himself also, I think it's very interesting to connect these two comments of Rav Amram Gon. In source number 16, there's a sefer Otsar HaGaonim. Otsar HaGaonim is a collection of different comments and shuvos of the Gaonim. It's very hard to kind of piece together what the Gaonim contributed to our Mesorah, and Otsar HaGaonim did an amazing job at giving us a window into the thought of the Gaonim. And it quotes from the Siddur of Rav Amram Gon, the same Gaon. And he writes as follows. He's talking about the Megillah at nighttime, and he's talking about some of the halachos there. And then in the last line, he says, V'korin es ha-megillah lefnei ha-tzibur kodem shayochlu klum, before they eat anything. Now, why does he throw in over here that we need to be fasting when we read the Megillah? There's a Trumas Hadeshen, Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, who says that for people who have a very difficult time fasting on Tanis Esther, and they can't make it until the end of the Megillah, you can read the Megillah earlier on during the day after Plag HaMincha, because according to Rabbi Nutam, Plag HaMincha is already considered like nighttime, so we can rely on his opinion when it comes to reading the Megillah as well. He says it's better to read the Megillah after Plag and not wait until nightfall at Seis, because one should not eat at all prior to reading the Megillah. And the Trumas Hadeshen says that the reason why you shouldn't eat prior to reading the Megillah is because you might, you've been fasting all day, you might get carried away, have an amazing, break fast, and then what do you know? You go to sleep and you forgot to read the Megillah at nighttime. So it's more of a technical concern. And the truth is that we have this concern in other areas of halacha. For example, when it comes to bir chametz, we have a rule that we don't eat before doing bir chametz. The only thing is that there's something unique about not eating before Mikra Megillah, where some hold that when it comes to Mikra Megillah, one shouldn't eat anything, not a morsel, not even taste any food. Whereas when it comes to Bir Chametz, the way that we paskin is that it's totally fine to have a little snack, to have a fruit, to have an apple before you do Bir Chametz. There's no problem with that. So why is it that the standards for not eating prior to Mikra Megillah are higher than the standards for not eating prior to other mitzvos? And why does not eating before a mitzvah, why does that find its way into the definitional statement of Rav Amram Gon that you read the Megillah before the congregation, before they eat? Before they eat. If it was just the technical concern of the Trumas Hadeshen, that you're going to, if they eat something, they're not going to end up doing it, that Rav Amram Gon didn't have to throw that in when he's introducing to us the essence of the mitzvah to read at night. So we have before us, number one, the Ritva, that the Megillah at nighttime can sometimes be split from the day, even come after the daytime reading. We have number two, the position of Rav Amram Gon, that Al HaNisim is not recited at Maariv because the Megillah was not yet read. Number three, we have Rav Amram Gon, again, as well as some of the poskim, that there's a higher standard for fasting until one reads the Megillah, and almost that fasting is part of the experience of reading the Megillah. And lastly, there is the discussion about Mikra Megillah being interwoven into the experience of Maariv. It's a very, very interesting discussion in the poskim, specifically in the Levush, Rabbi Mordechai Yaffa, about how exactly to structure Maariv and the reading of Megillah. There are really three options. What we do is as follows. We daven Maariv, and then we say Kaddish Tiskabel, and then we read the Megillah, and then we say another, then we say V'yata Kadosh, and then we do another Kaddish without Tiskabel. That's our practice. But in the poskim, there are two other possible practices. The Levush argues that Kaddish Tiskabel should be withheld until after Megillah, meaning as follows. You would daven Maariv, and you would go straight into, you would say a Chatzi Kaddish, and then you would go straight into the Megillah and then say Kaddish Tiskabel. Why? What is Kaddish Tiskabel? Tiskabel Tzolosan Uva'us on the whole Beis Yisrael. Kaddish Tiskabel is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our prayers. Says the Levush, Mikra Megillah is part of Maariv. It's meant to be interwoven into the experience of Maariv, into the acceptance of prayer. So when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the prayer, we have Megillah in addition to the Shmona Esrei that we daven. So we should say Kaddish Tiskabel after the Megillah. And some say, no, we should say Kaddish Tiskabel after Shmona Esrei, because we always say Kaddish Tiskabel after Shmona Esrei. But then they say another Kaddish Tiskabel after the Megillah. How do we make sense of all of these seeming quirks? So I believe what the idea is over here is that Mikra Megillah at night really is distinct from Mikra Megillah during the day. Mikra Megillah during the day parallels other requirements or obligations to read a text during the day. Whenever we have a unique day, a Kedushas Hayom, we have a specific reading that we have that highlights the themes of that day. You have Yontif, Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, Rosh Chodesh. On all of these days, we have specific readings that are meant to accentuate what is special about that day, and they come with a certain formal character to them. There's a ceremonial obligation to stand up and read it for the congregation, what is this day all about? And that is Mikra Megillah during the day. Because the daytime of Purim is the it corresponds to a Kedushas Hayom of another Yom Tov. Doesn't actually have Kedushas Hayom, there's no Isra Malacha, but it does have a certain uniqueness, a specialness to the day, and we bear that out by reading the Megillah during the daytime. The Megillah at nighttime is not for that purpose. It's not a formal reading of the themes of the day. Rather, the Megillah at night is meant as a launch pad. It's meant to launch us into the day of Purim. Mikra Megillah at nighttime is what inaugurates and initiates the day of Purim. That's why, according to Rav Amram Gon, you can't say Al HaNisim in Shmona Esrei until you've read the Megillah. The Megillah has to come first, because you don't have Purim without the Megillah. Now, I know, we say Al HaNisim, but that doesn't mean that we reject the essential notion that the purpose of the Megillah is to bring in the day of Purim. We just think that there is Purim on its own, and then there's our personal initiative in bringing in the day of Purim. Why does the Ritva say that the Megillah has to come on Yud Daled Adar at night, even though you're going to do the daytime earlier? Because you can't bring the day of Purim without Mikra Megillah. Why is Mikra Megillah interwoven into the structure of Tefillah? Because that's exactly the point. Mikra Megillah at night is not the formal fulfillment of the expression of the themes of the day, but rather it's the experience. It's getting back into the shoes of Mordechai and Esther and the Jews of Shushan, getting back into the feelings of what it meant to experience Lahashmid Laharug La'abid, and then experience that transition to LaYehudim HaYisa'ora V'Simcha V'Sason V'Yakar. Mikra Megillah at nighttime is the paradigmatic tekes ma'avar. It is the transition from Tainus Esther to Purim. And that is why it is so critical that we are still fasting when we read the Megillah at nighttime. Because when we read the Megillah at night, what we're supposed to experience is, as the Sefer HaEshkol wrote himself, Rav Avram ben Yitzchak of Narvon, one of the Provençal Rishonim, that the purpose of having Tainus Esther on the day right before Purim is to experience Yetzia Mitzara Lirvacha, to go from pain, distress, confinement, to breath and freedom and redemption. To have that experience, to have that feeling of a person who was in the Tzara. We need Tanis Esther in order to have a Purim, because you need to have the Tzara. And then we go straight from that Tzara to the Rivacha of having been under the Gezer of Haman, and now feeling the Yad Hashem, that we have been saved. And Mikra Megillah is where we step back into the story and we make that transition from Tanis Esther to Purim. If this is the case, it's really incredible, the psukim that Chazal chose to speak about the Megillah at nighttime. In source number one, we didn't read through the whole Gemara, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Elokai ekra yomam velo sa'aneh velayla velodum yali. It's a rather depressing pasuk. It's talking about reaching out to God, essentially being rejected, and saying, I'm going to daven again. And then at the end of the Gemara quotes another Manda Amar, who has the same halacha, Rabbi Chelbo in the name of Ula Bira, but quotes a different pasuk. Leman yezamer chachavod velo yidom, Hashem Elokai le'olam odeka. I'm going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu velo yidom, and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to praise Hashem. That is to say that these two psukim capture what Mikra Megillah is at night. It means to step into prakim aleph through hey of the Megillah and experience the Tanis Esther, the waning of Tanis Esther, as we're exiting from Tanis Esther. And we feel like we're back in the shoes of Lahashman Daharu Gula Abid. And we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ekra Yomam Velo Saneh, I'm not hearing you respond. However, Velayla Velo Dumyali, I'm not going to be silent. I'm not going to be prevented. And then to experience Prakim Vav through Yud of the Megillah, and to say Lamani Zamercha Chavod V'lo Yidom Hashem Elokai La'olam Odecha, a day of unbridled joy, of unfettered simcha. That's Mikra Megillah at nighttime. That's why it's one mitzvah with two parts. Chazal wanted us to have a construct in Purim of an experience that breeds a performance. This is something that I've heard many times from Mori V'Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig, that Purim differs from other unique days on the calendar exactly in this way. Take, for example, the transition in Perek Tes of the Megillah, where originally the Megillah says that the days of Purim are Yimei Simcha U'Mishteh. They're days of joys and of feast. Joy and feast. What does that mean? So generally, whenever we have an obligation of Suda, for example, on a Yontif, so the Torah tells us you have to be B'Simcha, you have to get into a state of mind and experience of joy. In order to prompt that experience of joy, I'm giving you the mitzvah of Suda, right? So the rule comes, and it defines what experience we're supposed to have in response to the rule. But then the Megillah flips, and it says, no, it's not Yemei Simcha U'Mishteh, it's Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha, which means that Purim differs from other days in the calendar, other special days. It's not that the rule then leads and breeds the experience, but it's the opposite. We get into the shoes. We have the empathy. We have the experience and the feeling. And from there derives normative practice. Mishteh v'simcha. First, you get into the mishteh. You have the feast. And then you say, wow, this really deserves a formal category, a requirement called simcha, that I need to be in a state of joy today. That's the same exact thing when it comes to the Megillah. Mikra Megillah at night is us stepping into the experience of Purim, that then breeds a formal requirement to read the Megillah during the day to highlight the themes of the day, just like we do on any other Yom Tov. And the truth is that we can find this even in the body of the Megillah itself. The Gemara Megillah Daf Yutes says, Megillah Nikrei Sefer V'Nikrei Sigeres. On the one hand, the Megillah is called a Sefer, a book. It has properties of the Sefer Torah. It's a formal text that's meant to be packaged and couched in the most formal of compartments. And on the other hand, it's Nikrei Sigeres. It's a letter. It's a personal experience that is more flexible and has fewer of the standards and norms of a Sefer Torah. Because we're supposed to have the Igeres experience that eventually breeds a Sefer. Mikra Megillah at night that leads to Mikra Megillah during the day. And if this is the case, so then we can truly appreciate what Purim as a holiday is really all about. Purim, going back to Perek Dalid, Im hacharish tacharishi bo'is hazos, revach ve'atzola yamod ha'yehuda mimakom acher. Purim is the day when we need to be in touch with our environment. We need to be connected to the atmosphere, to what we're experiencing. And from that place of a very deep connection, to be led and spurred to action. Im hacharish tacharishi bo'is hazos. Esther, do you understand what's happening? Do you understand? Do you feel what's happening? Mikra Megillah at night, you have to go to the king. You have to take the initiative. Mikra Megillah during the day. I want to conclude with this idea. It always happens to, I don't know, whenever the Torah is an amazing thing, and it always speaks to us no matter what our context is. And when I was speaking to Dr. Friedman today about his parents and the entire Friedman family, thank you. So I was learning a little bit more about Moshe Zev ben Azriel Tzvi Zechrono Levracha and Devorah Bas Yoshua Heschel Zechrono Levracha, Moshe and Debbie Friedman, and how they were pillars of support for Torah institutions where they lived in the five towns. And in order to be such a person, to be a pillar of support means that one first understands and appreciates, recognizes, internalizes one's environment, what one is faced with, what one confronts, the need for someone to step up. Im hacharish tacharishi bo'is hazos. You have the experience, you have the connection, and that leads you to a place of saying, how could I not stand up? How could I not be that Esther Hamalka? How could I not be the one who contributes and takes care of my community? And certainly, Dr. Friedman and Paula have really absolutely followed in the path of Maish and Debbie, being people who have contributed so much to this community. Certainly, people who I consider to be, you know, surrogate parents, so to speak, in my life. And you know, ever since I was a little kid, seeing Paul and Howie with their immense dedication and commitment to this tzibor, to this community, seeing how, you know, Howie would always be thinking about how we can have more shiurim in the shul, how can we improve and enhance the Talmud Torah of the Rinat Yisrael community, it takes a person who has a sincere and authentic connection and feeling to what's happening in one's environment that eventually breeds and leads to that place of action and initiative. That is the day of Purim, and hopefully we'll be able to connect to that 6 days from now. Shukran.